not so baffled. The suitor enlisted, driving up the ball. And...
third and goal, blitz coming from Alabama. Milton lofts it, got it. To McAllen Castles, a tight end for the touchdown.
All out blitz.
You know what happens when you blitz? You got guys downfield that are uncovered, and that's what Tennessee took advantage of to extend their lead late in the first half on Saturday. Tennessee playing Alabama, number 11, Alabama, number 17, Tennessee, up 20-7 at the half. And as he went on to say a moment after that, and the Alabama fans just can't believe it. They're not happy. But, you know, there's a second half in football, right? We all do. So, 41 seconds into the second half, Alabama says, we're going to do something about this.
Jermaine Burton in motion toward the ball. Milrow going to go deep. Lays it out there, and he's got Bond! Isaiah Bond! Touchdown!
Shake and not stir. 46 yards for the touchdown. That put Alabama down only by 6 about 10 minutes later in the game.
At the 5.
Plus a field goal already.
Jace McClellan heading to the corner. Touchdown, Alabama. They're in front for the first time.
That made it 24-20 midway through the fourth quarter. After that, you had, who was that team again?
Malachi gets blocked outside and then a forward play.
This is Tennessee with the ball, threatening, right, needing to score
Milton,
two.
Backside pressure, down he goes. The ball is out. It's going to be scooped, and it might be a score. It is. Campbell, touchdown, Alabama.
And I wouldn't normally start any day of my life by celebrating Alabama, but still, you know, nevertheless, you give credit where credit is due. And when you're down 20-7 at the half and you manage to win 34-20, I mean, you know, what can you say? 27 points in the second half unanswered. It's pretty good. That's pretty. Dang it. Dang it. That's pretty good. So, you know, credit to them. I mean, you know, just saying, that's good. Meanwhile, Argos played on Saturday. Argos going into this game, you have to understand, were favored to lose. And I know that's a weird thing for you to think about, but that's because Delta State is one of the best teams in the nation, perennially. Perennially in D2, and we play them, right? They're in Gulf South Conference. So it's always a struggle. But early on, we got early good stuff from Pee-wee Jarrett.
Blaylock comes in motion towards the right end of the line. Two receivers down here on the near side of the field, and that's the way Jarrett is looking. He fires it. He's got Leggett at the 15. Leggett spins away. 10, 5, touchdown. He dives into the end zone. The Argos draw first blood.
That's good. Love to hear that. That was about halfway through the first half and, you know, through the first quarter. And so, you know, for those of you who know UWF, we have an amazing defense and we have a very good offense. And so to only have the 7 points midway through the first quarter, despite last week's weirdness, or was it 2 weeks ago now? We lost 10-6. Anyway, we kind of put that aside, and that's kind of weird. So you got about a minute 30 left in the quarter, and Delta State is punting to others. Oh, my God, there was a lot of three and outs. A lot of short drives in this game. A lot of defense. It was on both sides. Very strong defense. So
Burleson back to punt. This one is a good kick. Lemons comes over, takes it. Inside the 5 and muffs it.
No, no.
Should have let it go.
No.
Off his chest, and Delta gets it at the 7-yard line.
Todd Lee Battle muffs the punt return. 5 yards. Delta State recovers, and they do with it what they're supposed to.
Second down. Looking to throw. Shagok throws the fade to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown catch. Is he in? No. They're going to say he did not get both feet in. Good coverage over there. They fire the cannon anyways.
Yeah.
Now the officials come together. They do have replay. Virgil Lemons over there trying to cover it. The throw was to Jalen Green.
Is it or isn't it?
It was hard to tell whether or not he had a foot in. Now they say touchdown. Of course they do, because you're in Delta, you're in Cleveland, Mississippi. They reverse the call. The two come together. They do not go to the replay. They make the call on the field, so it's a 7-yard touchdown pass, Shagog to Green.
Will Kennedy, you know, I don't know what the call on the field was. He didn't think they had scored and it was out of bounds, but then apparently they did, and they conferred, and they made it a touchdown. So that was 7-7. Delta State again midway through the second quarter.
Two receivers here near side of the field, ball in the near hash, single up top. Argos come with some pressure. Shagog steps up. He's got a man. He hits him. Brandon Cross is chasing him. He's not going to catch him. It is touchdown, Delta State. Argos broad pressure. Coverage wasn't good in the back. Jalen May takes it to the house.
55 yards to Jalen May. So that's 14-7 for Delta State. We managed to get a field goal. Griff Serra hits a 27-yarder. So that makes it 14-10. But then very late, 22 seconds left in the half.
They'll run a fake toss sweep to Nate Howard. Roll out, got a tight end. Open in the end zone. Easy throw, easy catch. Shagog finds his big tight end, Tyson Gray, for the 4-yard touchdown. He was so open.
Oh, man. That's 21-10 at the half. 21-10 at the half. These are numbers that UWF is just not used to looking at. So we're down by a lot going into the second half. But as is always the case, he played two halves of football. Who heard me say that yesterday, just a few minutes ago? Okay, so down 21-10 with the ball late in the third quarter. UWF.
Argos inside the red zone. Can they score a touchdown? He's throwing to Giles. He's got Giles. Giles makes the catch. Out of bounds at the 4.
But wait.
Through that back shoulder throw. Giles hauls it in. Let's see if they give him the 3 or the 4. Looks like they're going to take it to the 3-yard line. Uh-oh. We've been here before. It's 1st and goal from the 3. Gain of 16 on the Jarrett to Giles throw. Now the Argos have got to do what they could not do. Or do they call a touchdown? Okay, they're going to say he got in the end zone because Griffin Sarah's out there to kick a PAT. Scoreboard has not updated. Kick is up and it is through. The extra point's good, so the Argos get the touchdown. Ends up being a 19-yard touchdown. Jarrett to Giles. Extra point good. I'm confused. Everything. It looked like he went out of bounds, but he didn't. He got in the end zone. We'll take whatever they give us.
I love Will Kennedy. He's like, he's trying to figure out what's going on. Because it's, you know, you think this is, it's not easy, right? And when you think he's out of bounds and the, you know, the signaling isn't all that clear, and then all of a sudden they're kicking the point after, you're like, what's going on? Oh, touchdown. Okay, 19 yards. You know, we'll take it. And about 11 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. So now, again, UWF is trailing 21-17 at this point with the ball.
Leggett, down here at the 20, near side of the field, receiver in the slot, is offered. Peewee pulls it, finds it. John Giles in for the touchdown from 19 yards out. Argos back in the lead.
So that is a 2 consecutive touchdowns, both to John Giles, both for 19 yards, and Peewee Jarrett to make the score 24-21 with time expiring.
2 Argos safeties have dropped back.
Chicago
to the Delta,
and Delta
45.
State have the ball.
They're given,
what are they going to do?
35 yards of cushion. Even the linebackers are playing.
6 seconds to go.
15 yards off. Chicago chased out of the pocket. John McMullen's coming to get you, bub. And they're going to try to get out of bounds. They cannot. Argos are going to win this football game.
Woo!
He completed the pass. The Argos bottled him up at the 20, kept him in bounds, couldn't get to the out-of-bounds mark. And the Argos pull the upset, 24-21 on the road, down 11 at the half. They get it done.
They did, and they still pulled almost 200 yards worth of penalties in the game. Not good. No turn. Well, the one muff punt was a turnover, I guess, you know, because it's technical, but we never had it, so I don't know that you call that a turnover. Anyway, but no interceptions and no fumbles other than that one, and a pretty, you know, interesting game, big defensive game. Like I said, lots of punts. Punters getting a good workout, which is unusual. You know, basically after the game, Caleb Noble says, my guys stepped up. I'm pretty proud of them. And, you know, we still haven't played our best.
Your defense was going to step up, and they did. There was a stretch there over, I think, 5 of their last 6 drives for either a punt or a turnover on downs. So how big? I mean, you obviously had to have confidence given it to your defense there in the last minute.
100%. I don't know how many plays we played on offense, but a lot of it was a testament to our defense and how well they played. And they played well in the first half. I gave them a touchdown right before halftime by calling a timeout and extending the drive. And then the first couple of touchdowns they had, we just, you know, we muff a punt, and then we give them a drive extending penalty. So a lot of it is self-inflicted wounds, and that's a really good team that we just play. And they're a really good team. There's a reason they were undefeated in top 10 in the country coming into this. So we know that, you know, we got a lot of work left to do, a lot to get better. We still have not played our best, but I know it's in our heart, and we can do it.
I love that. We still have not played our best. But, you know, then again, the good news is that when you play well enough to be in this position.
Well, the next time you get a chance to play your best next Saturday, you're going to be a first-place team in the GSC.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty good. Thank you for that. Go Argos.
Yeah, we'll take that. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So fun football over the week. I thought a lot of these games are pretty boring. That's why I only really featured the 2. You know, and this is in spite of it being an Alabama game, but that was a good game. And the Argos, of course, you know, with a really good upset at Delta State when we were not expected to win that game. But they did, you know, despite some of the penalties, almost 200 yards worth. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When you go to buy, you know, a car, okay, especially if you buy a not new car, you tend to expect, at least I do historically, that, you know, you're going to feel like, you're going to get out of there with a car, but you're going to feel like you barely did. And you're not going to feel good about it. Like, you just kind of, I don't know, you feel icky. You know what I mean? Icky because of the experience you had. Well, I've had that experience, you know, even when I bought good cars and still felt like, you know. When I went to Frontier, had none of that. We looked at a car that we weren't going to buy. It was a, you know, we were replacing our Dodge Caravan that needed a new head gasket, but it didn't need it yet. Like, it needed it probably within 6 months. And we were just looking to see if a Honda Odyssey was going to be the car we were going to buy when the time came. And they were the only ones who had one. Nobody else had one. And so, because it just, it was kind of a weird thing. It's hard to explain, but there was nobody else had one for us to even drive to try, which is what you should do. And we tried it, and we loved it. And they said, you want to look at a price? And we did, and that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit? We can. Can you give us a day? We can. Can you come down again? We can. Can we buy it? You can. You know what I mean? It was like, that was how easy it was. And then, you know, they follow up with us 6 months and a year later to make sure everything's fine. And they had to, they replaced one of the physical keys on them like a year after we bought the car. Just stuff that you don't expect. And whatever the opposite of icky is, like really happy. I mean, I literally came to our sales manager after buying, you know, the car, and I'm like, can I start doing live reads for Frontier? Because they were great. You know, like that's how I thought about it, because they were really fantastic. And I know so many other people have had that same kind of experience at Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. Like, ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Oh, this cold.
Honey?
Honey?
Honey, you need DayQuil Severe Honey.
DayQuil Severe Honey gives you powerful cold and flu symptom relief with a honey-licious taste. Because life doesn't stop for a cold.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Now I'm getting a cold.
Honey.
Try DayQuil Severe Honey for powerful cold and flu relief. DayQuil Severe with honey flavor. The daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, honey-licious, power through your day, medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As head of security, it is my job to keep you alive. I will not succeed.
Good morning, 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and I think a dependable is not the word to describe the safe and the ATM inside the Family Dollar, or was it Family General? I can never I can never keep them straight. Honestly, that's why I have a news guy, David Wayne. Was it a Family Dollar or Family General? I again, they are all the same store to me. I know Dollar Tree is a little different, but like seriously. It's the same thing I have with the pet stores.
Right.
Like PetMart and Petland and PetSmart and Pets R Us and Pet Yourself and whatever. They're all like, they're all one store to me. And same thing for the dollar stores. They're all the same. I know they're different, but they're in my mind, they're all the same. Which one was it?
I believe in this case it was a Family Dollar
Family
store.
Dollar. Okay. Yes. And it, I mean, it's like right around the corner from my house. Like, it's not like I don't drive by it 100 times. I'm just saying it's, so they decide the way in is through the back corrugated aluminum of the building, right?
Right.
They just cut a hole in the wall and went in to steal stuff.
Cut a hole in the wall, yeah. And then, okay. And I guess this is why you don't buy your safe on Wish.
Yeah. Well, sure. Ouch. Way to victim blame. Nice.
I'm sorry.
You've been waiting all night for that one.
I just thought it was a good punchline. I'm sorry, folks. Israel's military again urging Palestinian civilians to leave northern Gaza to avoid being caught up in the expected fighting. During a briefing over the weekend, senior IDF spokesman warned that people are risking their lives if they don't leave. Israel's military says they are intensifying their attacks as they prepare for an expected ground invasion soon. The criminal fraud trial against former crypto billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried continues later this week in a Manhattan courtroom. The founder of the crypto exchange FTX is facing 7 criminal charges related to the collapse of that company late last year. He could face life in prison. And House Republicans will be meeting again tonight. They're still trying to find a speaker after multiple failed attempts by Jim Jordan to win the gavel. Lawmakers now holding a candidate forum to evaluate a number of Republican candidates.
Will there be like a swimwear or an evening gown competition? I mean, what is this going to look like? As the, you know, it's just, I don't know. You know, well, how hard can it be? Hard, apparently. Hard. David, thanks so much for the update. I was actually thinking, you know, what would there be a way to solve this problem by my favorite thing in the whole wide world? And I'm not being ironic. I'm serious. Ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting. That's the idea of that is where if you have candidates for an office, this is any office. OK, if you have multiple candidates for an office, what you do is instead of picking one, you pick them all by number. So you say, this is my first choice, second choice, third choice, fourth choice, eighth choice, 23rd choice. It doesn't matter how many there are. And then the way the tally works is, you know, you have a total, whatever that total is, you know, in this case, what, 435, and you add up that total, okay, and somebody has to get to, and I guess it's actually 433 because we're short two people, so that's why it's 217 you keep hearing. Anyway, what you do is you add up the number, and if nobody gets 217, this would be including Hakeem Jeffries for the Democrats, this is everybody, and then you take out the, in this case, you take out the ninth place person. And then whoever voted for that person first, you take their votes and give those votes to the person they ranked second. And then you do it again. If nobody gets 217, you take out the number 8, which is what a lot of people would have put first or second. And then you, well, not a lot, but some, and you take away those and you put them to the third place person. And you gradually eliminate candidates and shuffle their votes onto other candidates until you get down to 217, until you find somebody gets a majority, which might be, you know, 8 rounds of counting when you finally get rid of all of the not favored Republicans and you get down to just a Republican and a Democrat, and presumably all the Republicans would rather have any Republican than Hakeem Jeffries, and so that person would wind up winning. Now, if they'd have done this already, you know, you might have Speaker Scalise. You might have Speaker Jordan. I mean, shoot, you might have, you know, Speaker McCarthy. But we don't do it that way. We do it one round at a time where some holdouts can thwart the whole system, which I don't think is particularly appropriate, because what happens is these folks, you know, small group of people hold the whole process hostage, and then a different group of people hold their, you know, process hostage against that guy. And the few, well, hell knows, against any particular candidate can prevent the majority from really deciding. Now, the challenge of instant runoff voting is that you'd have to have all the appropriate candidates in there, and the people would have to be willing to vote for all of them. Because otherwise you'd get, you know, I mean, you could get to a point where, well, I'm just not going to vote for that guy. Oh, well, at that point, the total changes, therefore the majority need changes. And you might get a Democrat elected if you don't play the game, right? So should they have done it that? Of course. It's the only really sensible way for voting to be done. So naturally, we don't do it that way. I mean, there are a few municipalities. There might be, I think Alaska is one of the states. There's some place like Australia does it this way. It's one of these things that the, you know, the poli-sci nerds came up with. That's me. I didn't come up with it, but I'm one of them. Came up with, you know, a couple decades ago, and it's gradually gained more and more popularity. But the people who benefit from winning with pluralities, you know, like, say, President Trump, or we have, you know, local elections, too. The people who benefit from the current system, the kind of the, you know, vote for the person you love or the person that you think can win out of the people that you can stand, basically, don't want to see this system happen. But people like me and people who actually favor finding out how many people would vote for third or fourth or fifth party candidates would love to see this, because it would be a genuinely appropriate way to do a whole election. You wouldn't have the controversy of, well, they didn't win a majority, but they still got elected. Because, I mean, that can't happen by definition. Anyway, so that's ranked choice voting. We ought to have it. We don't. Maybe one day a boy can dream. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Did you see the helmets for Air Force? They had B-25, awesome, almost said B-52s. That'd be funny in World War II. B-25s honoring the Doolittle Raiders for the Air Force. So Air Force were sporting the, you know, World War II navy blue, you know, kind of with the star on them, the B-25 Mitchells. Those are the ones that struck back against Japan's homeland right after Pearl Harbor. I mean, not right after, but, you know, very shortly after Pearl Harbor, as a way of declaring to the Japanese, you know, we can get to you. which forced them to pull back a lot of their naval contingent back to protect the homeland, which gave us space to operate, which was a crucial morale booster in World War II and strategically very significant. So they were wearing that, and some people were upset. But how dare you celebrate your victories? Yeah, you go play in the corner because we don't really care that you don't celebrate the United States Air Force and its rich tradition of doing amazing things.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Some Israeli troops crossing the border in Gaza.
We are learning that the Israelis continue limited raids into Gaza to try and look for information about the hostages that are being held there and also to ensure that they are clearing the path for that expected ground operation.
Fox's Trey Yanks earlier in southern Israel. The Israeli military confirming Hamas is holding 222 hostages. Another week and still no Speaker of the House. Republicans have a closed-door session to hear pitches from Speaker candidates, House Majority Whip Tom Emmer, and a group of others. They want to grab the gavel. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will be arraigned today. New set of charges that he conspired to act as a foreign agent for Egypt. It was scheduled from last week. His trial is set for May 6th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 63 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies. Beautiful morning here in Pensacola today. More than 20 local organizations were awarded grants from Impact 100 at their annual meeting over the weekend. One of those recipients was Health and Hope Clinic.
We are so excited to bring on that mental health wing. We're calling it the health and wellness wing to bring better awareness, to get instant care to the community that we serve.
And that is Alicia from Health and Hope. And again, they held their annual banquet over the weekend, awarding grants to several local organizations. Investigators still looking into that heist at the dollar store over the weekend. Employees at the Family Dollar on North Palafox say they arrived for work Sunday morning to find a hole cut in the back of the store. Noticed money had been taken from the safe and ATM in the building. Deputies say thieves were able to cut the power to the building before they cut the hole into the building and then disabled the alarm to cut into the safe. So far, no other information has been relieved, but we'll let you know when we learn more. The 19-year-old charged in a shooting at a local bowling alley last month has now been arraigned on attempted murder charges. Now, that happened on Friday afternoon. Nicholas Valia was in court to face attempted murder and firearm charges. Prosecutors say Valia fired several shots outside the DeLuna Lanes bowling alley September 23rd. That resulted in a 17-year-old being shot in the arm and the stomach. Investigators say that that shooting happened after an argument in the parking lot. Valia has now entered a not guilty plea and been released from the Escambia County Jail on $50,000 bond. Family members have identified a cantonment man that died in a motorcycle crash last week on Highway 95A. Channel 3 reports that family members talked to them and identified the victim as 68-year-old Louis Rocheblave. And FHP says he was traveling south when he ran off the road and crashed as he tried to re-enter the road. Family members say Rocheblave leaves behind a loving family and he'll be greatly missed. Florida rabbis heading to bring comfort to those surrounded by war in Israel. About 15 rabbis left from Miami yesterday on a flight to Israel. They're taking supplies, donations, and emotional support as well as Israelis continue to deal with the war with Hamas. One rabbi from Fort Lauderdale tells CBS that they're hoping to bring strength to families who are missing their loved ones. Former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy now backing House Majority Whip Tom Emmer to take the gavel. More from Trey Thomas.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, McCarthy said the Minnesota congressman knows how to do the job.
We got a wide open southern border. We got crushing inflation. We got war in the Middle East. This is not a moment in time to play around with learning on the job.
He added that Emmer can bring the Republican Party together, as well as focus on the country's needs. I'm Trey Thomas.
Thank you very much, Trey. It's 534. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with
with partly cloudy skies. Temperatures warming up near 83 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 63 in Pensacola, 63 in Gulf Breeze, 59 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out. But radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's one of your last couple of chances to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and watch the sunset as you enjoy your favorite bands. This week, the Knee Deep Band hits the stage. They're a high-energy variety show with something to please audiences of all ages. It's happening this Tuesday night at 7 at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and win with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am neutral on this. I'm neutral. So to say there's no new taxes, I think one of the first things...
I never said no new taxes.
Steve, that is what I asked you. Do people want to pay more tax for a higher level of service?
We'll have to see if they want to do that, though.
Are you guys going to take the roads?
Again, that's not for me to decide. That would be...
Personally, I think it is. I mean,
you're running the whole deal.
You're asking them to set up something up, and we're going to say, we're going to set up this entity, but we're not going to know what we do until we set it up.
Our board's not going to put something on the ballot that affects us without knowing what the effect's going to be.
I get it. You guys are pushing this thing to get it in, but it almost is starting to feel like a square peg being jammed into the round hole. I am neutral on this. I'm neutral.
You know, you can say I'm neutral. I'm not sure that it ever sounds like that's actually true, because typically when Commissioner Bragash says he's neutral on this Perdido's, and he may well be. I mean, it's always possible. I just know that when he says he's neutral, he always follows it up with, but it's going to cost you more taxes. It's going to get you, the same service is going to cost you more. You're not going to do anything special. I don't understand why anybody would do it. It seems like, kind of a pointless plan to me, but I'm neutral. Okay, sure. Commissioners Bender and Barry, also at the Escambia County Commission meeting on Thursday, asking pointed questions. And if I had to read the room based on what they were saying on Thursday, I'd say that's three opposeds, not three neutral, and we'll wait and see. Even though Commissioner Barry also said, you say with one part of your mouth and say with the other part of your mouth, that he was neutral on the thing. So Steve Brentrow was the defender or the advocate who's been up there kind of, working his tail off to try to get there to be a referendum next year to incorporate Perdido into a city. And, we talked with a lot of questions. And I think a lot of the questions are fair. They're fair. I mean, and I one part I do agree with Jeff Bergosh about is that people ought to know what the truth is. They ought to know what the plan is. I don't know if that, it's going to cost them tax money. If so, what kind? How much? What are you going to get? What are you not going to get? You know, and those are questions which at this point I think are still, you know, waiting to be answered fully. We talked about this fairly extensively on Friday with Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2, and it would be his bill to run since Perdido is in his district. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You have some concerns about this move, and obviously it'll be up to you to file the bill in the House anyway. So tell me what you're thinking about this thing.
Well, yeah, so a legislator's role in the question of incorporation really is a limited one. It's just a matter of, working a local bill, a special act through the legislative process to allow it to be on the ballot for the people in that area to vote on. I'm not making the decision about whether or not an area would become incorporated. The concerns I have with this one specifically is it's been sold since the beginning as this, they've been calling it government light, where it's, you know, we're not going to create this whole new level of government. We're going to contract it out. And when they, you know, approached me last year and told me they were going to pursue this, I just said, okay, like, I'll remain ambivalent. You know, I don't think it's my place to, you know, decide that voters, you know, that I know better than the voters in that area. But I said, you got to be transparent and open about the possibility of raising taxes. And, you know, you got to, if you're not going to be the one providing the services, you got to make sure there's some indication at least that the people that you expect to be providing those services are willing to do so. Because once you incorporate, there's nothing requiring the county to provide the same services the county's providing right now to that area.
And have they, to your mind, fulfilled those obligations or check marks or responsibilities?
And that's where the issue comes in frankly, no. I mean, I like Steve Brentrow. I think he's honest and sincere. But the fact that, you know, this move would come with an increase in taxes for the people in that area really hasn't been sold, and it's not been clearly explained. There's been no work yet on actually talking with the county, the one that will provide most of the services. I believe that the folks, you know, advocating for this got an indication from Sheriff Simmons that he'd continue to provide it, but that doesn't mean that Sheriff Simmons will have the money for it. So who will be contracting with Sheriff Simmons to provide those services? There's nothing requiring the county to continue providing the same funds to the sheriff's department to provide services for that area even. So there's a lot of things that have yet to be hashed out. And so, you know, I'm in a position now where, you know, philosophically, I don't believe it's my place to say I know better than the voters in that community, but I'm also concerned about how this is being sold and how it's going to be sold, you know, if it goes on the ballot for next November.
Yeah, I feel the tension, in you because you want to let people decide for themselves. But if you don't feel like the deal being made available is, you know, a legitimate one, so to speak, or is, you know, a clear one, it's sort of like we have rules for who can, you know, contractor competency, for who can build houses. Because, you know, just because you want to buy a house from a dude doesn't mean that dude knows how to build a house. And, you know, there's all kinds of cases like that. Just because you want to buy doctor services from somebody doesn't mean that that person knows how to provide them. And, you know, so there are times when the government says, you know, I'm not going to give you the choice to do this thing, even though normally I would want to, because the thing is not well-formed enough. And I know you're kind of torn between those two parts. Just to be clear, the county would still get all of its money, all of its $6 million. They would just no longer be obligated to provide services for free that they had been or they are currently obligated to provide, right? That's one of the real holdups here.
Yeah, and there's I believe it's an MSTU for the Sheriff's Department for law enforcement gets levied on these folks.
But that doesn't cover the cost of the Sheriff's Department entirely, not even close, right? Right.
No. I mean, I think my rough estimate, and it could be way off, but my rough estimate is that only covers about 10% of the Sheriff's Department budget. So, you know, from my perspective, yeah, why wouldn't the county just take the 90% and say, you know, good luck, keep
right.
the MSTU money.
Right.
You know, so there are a lot of questions to be hashed out, and I don't think the county's obligated to provide a discount to the city to provide the same services. So I think at this point it's a non-starter that this whole proposal can go forward without raising taxes. Like, this whole proposal will have to raise taxes if it passes.
And they may not be millage taxes, but they're going to be fees or taxes from somewhere is the point. And that's the part that maybe hasn't been. And I'm with you. I like Steve. I think he's a very honest, decent, intelligent person. But I'm also concerned that the message about that hasn't been as clear. And the message about what exactly they're going to do in exchange for the increase in taxes, that's also not been as clear to me. Two, we'll look forward to the legislative delegation meeting next Thursday to talk about this stuff in Escambia County. Santa Rosa's on Tuesday. Of course, you're involved in both. You've filed the Ticketmaster bill. We're working still on the panhandling bill. Is that about right where we stand?
Yeah, the panhandling bill, I'm working with several different stakeholders now, and I think, you know, it's going to have some very strong support, so I'm excited to get that one filed when it comes back from bill drafting. And, you know, yeah, I have the Ticketmaster bill filed, and then I have the charter school bill filed.
Oh, that's right,
and
the charter school, too. Mm-hmm.
I anticipate the panhandling one coming pretty soon, and then a few others.
Outstanding. One thing that doesn't have anything to do with your role as a state representative, you are also city attorney for Milton, unrelated, and a private practice attorney as well. And you were the attorney of record for Commissioner Kerry Smith in Santa Rosa County in his defamation lawsuit based on this mailer that went out in the election year, tying him to charges related to violence and other matters. And on the front of the mailer had references to like Cassie Carley and some things like this. This has just recently been settled. At least phase one has been settled. Tell folks what happened here.
Yeah. So before the election in August last year, some mailers came out claiming that Kerry Smith had been found guilty multiple times of domestic violence, and found guilty of violating probation violating an injunction or something. It's very easily fact-checked that those claims are false. And it's also really egregious that, you know, these mailers did have on one side headlines referencing Cassie Carley, and Cassie's father received one of these mailers in his mailbox. I mean, it was such an egregious and abusive attack on, you know, someone running for office, that, you know, it was definitely a meritorious, you know, defamation suit to be brought. And, as part of the settlement against the guy, Mark Zubley, that, you know, designed and worked on getting the mailers, you know, sent out to Santa Rosa residents, Mr. Zubley had to disclose who was behind the mailer, who funded the mailer, pay a settlement amount of $50,000. So now we know that there was a developer, Mr. Edwin Henry, who was the one that paid for these mailers, and a gentleman named Chip Case that helped kind of broker the deal and supervise, you know, all the activity going towards mailing it out. So, working with Commissioner Smith isn't over, obviously, but this first phase did, you know, obviously yielded that information and also yielded a settlement for Mr. Smith to start trying to make that right. I mean, there's a reason good people don't run for office, and it's because of, you know, Bush League amateur stuff like this.
And one of the things, just to make clear, people who maybe haven't followed all the backstory here, but, you know, Ed Henry has been one of these people who has been very adamantly against impact fees in Santa Rosa County, and Kerry Smith campaigned on impact fees. And so, you know, it seems likely to imagine that that was one of the primary motivations for going after him in this way. And then, you know, as you say, you've settled the first phase of the lawsuit. And I'm assuming that we're in the consideration phase for whether to continue to press charges against the original instigators of the mailer. Is that right? Or press a case against?
I just got a few things with Commissioner Smith, and then, we'll take up that question pretty soon.
Very good. Well, I certainly, the part of this I particularly appreciate is the protecting of people from highly inappropriate political, defamations, which does, in fact, keep good people from running for office. So I appreciate that work. Last thing, you and I are going to kick balls tomorrow.
Well, you might be kicking balls, but I'm going to be kicking a lot of grass tomorrow, Andy.
All right.
So I'm excited. Team B, I wouldn't say I'm athletic at the moment. You know, it's not a dad bod; it's a father figure that I'm rocking right now. But
nice, Freshly minted.
I am very competitive when it comes to my frivolous sports, so I'm excited for tomorrow, and hopefully I can win 2 years in a row.
You had to. Okay, fair enough. All right, fair enough. So he's on B team with Jared and half the county commission. I'm on the A team with the other half of the county commission. There's a lot of people on both sides. It's going to be at Wahoo Stadium. We start kicking at 9. There's kind of warm-ups and stuff before that around 8. But it's going to be a really good time for the Sheriff's Foundation tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And looking forward to playing against one of my good friends, Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. We'll see you tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks,
Ed. You know, a really good friend would have dropped that ball. I'm just, we had such a good time on Saturday. And so in kickball, you have to make a decision whether to be strategic or to, you know, have like fun. And for my, I was set up for failure because last year my very first kick was an in the park home run. So I thought I can do that again. And I kicked it really good. Right to Alex, and he caught it. Oh, and then he caught the third ball too. So we were out of the first inning in three batters. It was over real fast. The second time up, I did the strategic, you know, bunt it and run to first, and we almost tied up the game. But no, they did win. They won 1-0. It was not a lot of offense in this game. Chip Simmons scored the only run of the game, and it was a lot of fun. It was always a lot of fun. I mean, and you know, having Michelle Salzman do a lot of the play-by-play on the loudspeakers and. You know, sunshine and just, I mean, everybody was there. It was so much fun. Anyway, I look forward to doing it again. And I am 100% in my prediction that everybody's now sore. I could barely walk yesterday from not used to running like that. And so it wasn't the paddleboarding all day Saturday that got me after that. It was the running the bases and my, you know, quads and my thighs are just killing me today. So there you go. But it was a good time. A good time was had by all. Hopefully the spectators too, having a little bit of a laugh at our expense. All of us, not athletes, getting out there playing kickball. 551, Commander Andrew Hobbs from the Sheriff's Office. Mean at first base. Throwing a ball at Mel, our sister station co-host of the morning show, Cat Country. But he's great. Andy's fantastic. But, yeah, did tag her out that way. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide what to do, where to do, how much to afford, what's the market going to do 6 months and a year from now? Is it going to get better, worse in your price range in that geographic location? These are all good questions. Don't ask me. I don't know. They're not questions I can answer. You ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty because that's their expertise. That's their passion. That's like the way Christina always says, it's like, I'm a nerd about this stuff. I love it. I love learning and knowing and understanding and helping people and helping them make good decisions and getting them into a home or getting them out of a home or both. Like, she's just like passionate about helping people. And I have known that was true for her the whole time I've known her, but it's really come out in the last like 6 or 7 years that she's been doing real estate and just, you know, fantastic results. 230 plus homes sold last year, which is amazing. So give her a call, talk to her, find out what she thinks is a good idea for you and, you know, pick her brain and get good advice. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales,
business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio923 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wait, you get looking. You're hot.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
Gathered downtown Pensacola tonight to protest U.S. funding for the war.
USA, can't you see?
USA, can't you see?
You are on a killing spree.
You are on a killing spree.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
The protest was organized by the local group Party for Socialism and Liberation. The protesters, many Palestinian Americans, were demanding the U.S. government call for a ceasefire in the conflict.
I wish they would have let them finish the back half of that rhyme. I mean, their first rhyme was pretty good. USA, can't you see you're on a killing spree? I mean, these folks are out writing. These are definitely some English majors that are writing these protests on Sunday for the folks who are against Israel and who think that it's inappropriate for them to be responding to and creating security around their state after the attack from Hamas 2 weeks ago. By the way, it is worth noting, in case you were worried that there was some massive movement here locally, this again is the Party for Socialism and Liberation representatives. In case you didn't catch that bit from Channel 3. So these are the folks who sometimes show up in they usually wear red, appropriately, shirts when they come to the county commission meetings and argue about how, or not county commission, but sometimes, but more school board meetings is where you hear it there as much. So just, you know, always know your source. And look, they are perfectly within their rights to be protesting, perfectly within their rights to be chanting, certainly within their rights to be, you know, members of the Socialist Party and advocating for the change they believe in. I have no problem with that. Public engagement by people with wingnut views is exactly allowed, because I protect their wingnut views so that I can have my wingnut views protected. That's the trade-off. That's what we all agree to. You had Dana Abuela was there, and she was one of the people talking about this.
Today, we have a bunch of Americans, a bunch of Muslims and non-Muslims protesting America's funding to the ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza and the West Bank, but specifically in Gaza. This has been going on for over 75 years, but this recent escalation has led to over 4,500 dead Palestinians in Gaza, funded by American taxpayer money. We don't want our money to be going to genocide.
So words matter. A genocide is when you deliberately set out to exterminate a group of people, you know, like has been done historically against the Jews, is actually genocide. And when the political party that governs Gaza advocates as one of their party platforms genocide against Jews, you have a hard time persuading me that just protecting yourself is genocide, especially since they deliberately set out to protect innocent life in every way possible, warning people before they bomb, for example. And, you know, they've been amassed at the border waiting to go in, not to raise Gaza and kill civilians, but to create a safe space, presumably if they ever do go in, for themselves, where you would not have Hamas in control, able to fire rockets and other attacks against Israel. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I know for people who are caught up in their worldview, they use words loosely and they use them because they're trying to gain sympathy and political effect. But if 75 years of genocide is what you thought has been done against the folks in Gaza, well, there wouldn't be anybody in Gaza. And that's just, I mean, that's just false. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former President Trump says Sidney Powell was never his attorney after the plea deal in the Georgia election interference case. He posted on Truth Social. Oh, he says, despite, quote, fake news reports to the contrary, Powell was not his attorney and never was. But he does say she did a valiant job of representing Michael Flynn in 2019.
Okay. Just, you know, it's not a blue sky if you say it's not. I mean, whatever. Like, she was
looks awful purple to me, Andrew.
She was one of the team out there advocating for him and the election overturn constantly, and okay.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.